Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7. We all have people in our lives that we can say that we call them our friends. These are the people in our lives who help us to think great thoughts. We go to them when we are down. We go to them when we are depressed. We go to them when we are in the lowest state of our lives. And somehow, when we're around them, they seem to lift us up. They help us to do the best that we can. They encourage us to work harder. They encourage us to think better. They encourage us to do the best that we can do. Now, sometimes we may get mad at our friends. We may say things to our friends. But real friends, they kind of just get through that and they remain friends. If you have a kind of friend that is your friend one day, and then the next day if you say something or do something to them, then they're not your friend. That's not a true friend. I want to tell you that one of the best friends that I have that's working in the back with me, we've gotten into some arguments. But we are still friends. And you've probably had someone that is like that. That no matter what you say, no matter what you do, they will still be your friend. They care for you. They love you like a brother. And I want to make that clear. Like a brother. Okay? We're not married, by the way. Or a sister. But we should always have one of those people in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you a story about a man that had several friends. And this man lived a life where he had a problem. He couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. He was deaf and he was what they called back then dumb. He couldn't speak. But yet he had friends that loved him so much that they were willing to bring him to Jesus. And Jesus met with him. And I want to talk to you today about a positive healing. How this man had a positive encounter with Jesus. As we're studying the book of Mark, one of the things that I hope that you're going to notice, besides that it is a very fast-paced gospel, but it is one that talks a lot about healing, a lot about demon possession. Because we see a very important theme in the book of Mark, and that is that Jesus was concerned about people. And he was concerned about not just people, but he was concerned about individual people. And I want you to know today, friends, that God is concerned about you today.
Amen.
Whatever you might be facing, whatever you might be going through in life, God is concerned about what you're going through. I wrote a little devotional on Facebook that reflects that fact that even in the time of the Exodus, when the people of Israel were in slavery, God was still concerned about them. And we're going to see a man who was deaf and he could not speak, and God was concerned about him. Jesus was concerned about him. So let's turn, if you will, if you haven't already, to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And let's read this here. We're going to begin looking at verse 31. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went on through Sidon and down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. And there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could not hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hands on the man. And he took the man aside, away from the crowd, and Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven and said with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept on talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement, and he had done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Father, as we come to your word this morning, I pray that you would open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that you'd open up our spiritual ears, that we may both see and hear the message you have for us, and help us to meet whatever need that we may have this morning. We pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the district of the Decapolis, or what they called the Ten Cities, Jesus encounters here a man who has real friends. People who cared enough to bring him in his disabilities to Jesus. These men wanted the very best for their friend, and Jesus responded by performing a miracle that demonstrates his love and compassion for individuals. There's three things I want us to see here. And the first thing is that the man had a personal encounter with the healing Jesus. The man had a personal encounter with the healing Jesus. Verse 32 of our text says that then some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hands on him. So Jesus does something really funny. Jesus goes and he takes this man aside, and he spits on his hands, and he puts his hands in his ears, and he touches his tongue. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if I really want someone putting their fingers in their mouth and go putting it in my ears and my mouth. That's not really sanitary. But there were some significant things behind this that we need to see. First of all, Jesus put his fingers in his ears to signify that the obstructions would be removed and sound would enter ear's passageway. He was symbolizing to him that the sound would come by putting his fingers in his ears, that he would have restored sound. Secondly, when Jesus touched his tongue with the moisture from his own mouth to lubricate the stretched tongue to restore it to natural agility and movement. Now, what does this mean? It means here that Jesus' touches reveals that he was the source of healing. That he couldn't say that, oh, well, you know, it could have been some kind of a random act. Or it could have been just something, you know, I just happened to get. Have you ever noticed people that when they get healed, they give the credit to everything but where credit is due? They say, well, it's the medicine, and God uses the medicine. Or it's the doctors or whatever it is, and these are the things. But my friends, let me tell you something. When Jesus put his fingers in this man's ears and he put his finger on his tongue, he was saying that the only person that could possibly have healed him was Jesus. That's the only person that could heal him. And that's what that represented. I also think that it's interesting that Jesus did not just consider this man another person. That this person was an individual to Jesus. That he considered him to be a friend. We sang that today. I'm a friend of God. Say that with me. Say that I'm a friend of God. That's not very good. I gotta say that again. Say it with me. I am a friend of God. We're not a stranger to God. That if we have trusted Him as our Savior, that God knows us. He knows who you are. He knows you by name. In fact, the Bible says that He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. How many of you can tell me the number of hairs that are on your head? Anybody? We don't know. Because if you've taken a shower this morning, did you know that you lost hair? Hair goes down the drain. And here's the concept, that if God knows the number of hairs that are on your head, God knows you. God, you are an individual to God. You're not a number. I used to remember my dad used to love Bob Seger. How many of you know who Bob Seger is? Maybe yes, no, some people. Bob Seger wrote a song entitled, "I'm Just a Number," or "I Feel Like a Number." And sometimes in the world that we live in, we feel like a number. When I was in Colorado Springs, I had to go and get my driver's license renewed. And you have to go really early in the morning, and you can spend 4 or 5 hours at the DMV there in Colorado Springs. Because within the first 20 minutes of the door being opened, everybody in Colorado Springs decides they're going to go get their whatever it is done at the DMV. So you go in there, and you may have 60, 70 people in there. And you got to get in there as early as you can to get an early number. And if you happen to step out for just a second or go to the bathroom for just a second and they call your number, you have to get another number and you have to wait again. Well, I had a situation that I had to get my driver's license renewed. I had been in Nebraska and I had my driver's license in Nebraska and my driver's license expired, so it was time to get a new license. So I go and I went there early and I got a number and I waited all day. There was 1 hour left till the place closed and finally they called my number. And I go up and I had all the paperwork that I needed to have or what the website said that I needed to have to get my driver's license renewed. And I figured that I'd be there maybe for about 10 minutes or so. And so I get there. Finally, they've called my number. Well, come to find out that in Nebraska, you don't have to have your full middle name on your driver's license. And in Colorado, you have to have your full middle name on your driver's license. No big deal. So I pull out my Social Security card. Come to find out, I didn't have my full middle name on my Social Security card. And they said that they could only take two documents, my Social Security card or my birth certificate. I had to go all the way back home and look in a pile of papers with 1 hour left for that paper. And I come back and I wait in line and I had to wait till the next day. But it's frustrating to feel like a number. They don't care who you are. They don't care what you have to do that day. You're just number 577 now serving. But to Jesus, you are somebody. You are important to Jesus. Jesus cares for us and He loves us unconditionally. And He loved this man so much that when these men came to Jesus and they begged that He would heal him, this man, not only did He heal him, He took him aside. The text said that He took him away from the crowd and He dealt with him on a one-on-one basis because that man was important to Jesus. And may I say to you today that you're important to God.
Amen.
God does not treat us like the DMV, praise the Lord. There are times when we think that God is distant. There are times that we think that God is so far away that how could He possibly care what I'm going through But may I say to you that He is. He does care. He does know what we're going through. There's a hymn that we used to sing in church, and I sing it for specials sometimes. And the chorus of that hymn is, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. My heart is touched, or His heart is touched with my grief. When the long night's weary and the long day's dreary, I know my Savior cares."
Amen.
Jesus cared for this man because He took time not only to heal him, but He took time to touch him. He took time to interact with him. And my friends, God cares about you. He cares about what you're going through today. He cares about your situation. Jesus sees each of us as individuals worthy of His healing touch this morning.
Amen.
It is said that someone once asked the cryptic playwright George Bernard Shaw that if he were Noah and he could choose who wanted to live with him in the ark, who would it have been for him? And his response was this: "I'd let them all drown." What great news that God doesn't feel that way.
Amen.
He actively seeks us individually to save us from the drowning situations of life. This man had a personal encounter with the healing Jesus. The second thing I want us to notice from this passage is the man had compassionately caring friends. This man had compassionately caring friends. The text says that some men, I don't like that. That's not accurate. Some men, no, they were friends. You want to know why I know that they were friends? Because they put up with this man. They came to him, they came to Jesus. Not only did they, because a real friend would not have bothered to bring them to Jesus. They may have given them a ride. Hey, you need a ride to go see Jesus? But these men, not only did they give him a ride, but the Bible says, what did it say? It says that there are some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could not barely talk. So not only did they give him a ride, they brought him right to, in front of Jesus. And not only did they bring him right in front of Jesus, they begged that he would be healed. Do you have a friend that begs Jesus for you? Or let me put it this way. Do you have someone that you beg Jesus for? Here's a bunch of people that love their friend so much that they're willing to risk everything that they have to bring this man to Jesus. These are friends who forged ahead, and even when it seemed hopeless. The doctors told them there's nothing more we can do. He'll never be able to hear again. He'll never be able to talk again. It's hopeless. But yet these men were going, "But there's still hope. We can bring him to Jesus." These are friends who risked embarrassment to bring him to Jesus. I could just see people, "Well, what are you doing, man? Don't you have better things to do with your time? What are you wasting your time here?" These people, they didn't care what other people thought of them. They cared more about that one person and him getting right with Jesus than they did their own lives. And I want to say something about that. Because we live in a day and age where we care about what other people say. And we don't bring our friends to Jesus because we're afraid of what they're going to say to us. We're afraid what our other friends are going to say to us. We're afraid that they're going to laugh at us and make fun of us. Let me give you this illustration. If your best friend was burning sitting in a burning building, And they told you, I'm okay in this building. I'm okay right where I'm at. Would you or could you let them burn? I love Josh, but if he ever told me that, I'd punch him in the face. I'd pick him up and I'd drag his body out that door. Because I don't care what he says. I care about him more than I do what he thinks of me. And if we love our friends so much, and here's the reality, our unsaved friends that we know that do not know Jesus, and we just, oh, we're not going to, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. Do we really love our friends? Because if we really love our friends and our family, we will do whatever it takes, or try to do whatever it takes, to bring them to Jesus. These are these men that are willing to do whatever it takes to come to Jesus and to get this man healed. These are pretty good friends. These are friends I want to have. I want to have friends like this. These are friends who identified with hurting and wanted to do something about it. I bet they just couldn't stand to see that guy struggle. I bet it pained them when they couldn't hear what they were saying, or that he couldn't respond back or communicate with them. They were moved so much that they brought him to Jesus. These are friends who emptied themselves for the sake of their friend. These are friends who never gave up on their friendship with the man. These are friends who delivered on their promise to help. And they brought him to Jesus. These are friends who shared the wonderful experience with their friend. Oh, Ben, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall after that encounter. He came in there with friends and he left with friends. Oh, to be there to see the conversations that would have went there. Thank you guys for sticking with me even when I couldn't speak and even when I couldn't hear. I mean, these were people that were with him. They were in it for the long haul. May I ask this question? Do you have a friend that is like this towards you? Do you have a friend that is willing to stick with you through the thick and the thin? Do you have a person in your life? And it can be, if it's a guy, it can be another guy. If it's a girl, it can be another girl. If it's your husband or whatever it might be, do you have that person that no matter what you do or no matter what you say or no matter how you act, they still love you as a friend? And may I ask this question? Are you that way to someone else? Do you have a person in your life that you're that way with? Are you that kind of a friend? If I would ask someone else to describe your friendship with them, would they give me that description? Would they give me that thing that they would love me no matter what I did? They would love me no matter how I acted. I could act like a complete jerk and they'd still love me. What kind of friendship do we have? Are we like these people? I don't like that. Are we like these friends that brought this man to Jesus? I hope so. I hope that there's people in your lives that are like that with you. And I hope that you're like that with people in your life. The third thing I want us to see here is the result of faith, and that is healing. This man came to Jesus. He was willing to come to Jesus. And he wanted to be healed. When we talk about faith, what is faith? Faith is this. Faith is our positive response to God. God offers us faith. He offers us healing. He offers us whatever it is in our life. And our response to that is that of faith. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do give, I give unto you. Faith. Even faith is supplied by God. God gives us the faith. But that doesn't come from anything good that I have. I'm not a man that has great faith. The faith that I have comes from God. God gives me the faith that I in return give back to Him. It's kind of a reciprocal thing. But faith is our positive response to God. God wants to heal us. God wants to transform our lives. And when I talk about healing, that can mean a physical healing. That can mean a spiritual healing. That can mean all kinds of things. But God wants to make you whole this morning. Whatever it might be. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. We have a lot of baggages. And God wants to make us whole. And our response is, when we respond in faith, we say, God, I may not understand, I may not know, but I am trusting that you can make me whole. That's what faith is. When we have anointings and we anoint people with oil, we use the anointing oil as a representation of our faith to say that I trust you, God. I trust that you are my great physician. I trust that you are my healer. And I am placing my trust in you. And here's this man. He comes to Jesus, right? He comes to Jesus and he trusts that Jesus is going to heal him. Jesus takes him aside. He does some funny things to him, but he heals him. Puts his fingers in his ears and puts his hand in his mouth. But what happened? Verse 35. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loose, and he began to speak plainly. Why? Because he trusted God. Now, there's times that we pray for faith, we pray for healing, and God does not heal. Does that mean that we don't have enough faith? No. That may mean that it's not God's timing to heal. One of the lessons that I've had to learn over my time is that yes, God does bring healing, but it may not be in our time, and it may not be in our fashion. And I've had to learn that the hard way. I've had a lot of people come into my office that get so mad at God. God, why didn't you heal me of this? I prayed and I asked you and you didn't heal me, so there must not be a God. And this is how I respond to them. I say, we don't know when God's going to heal us, and we don't know how God's going to heal us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the faith to believe that He can heal us. And when we trust Him, we say that you can heal us in whatever way possible. I trust you. And it could be miraculously. I've seen people be miraculously healed, and we believe in that. We also believe that God may use a doctor to say, wait a minute here. I think I found another way of doing this, so we don't have to do it the way we originally thought. It could be with a medication that God gives a person wisdom to come up with to help them to get over a particular illness. But God does bring healing. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we serve a God that heals all of our diseases. But He may not do it when we... But He comes to this man, and this man, he gets healed. Faith is our reaching out to God in the midst of turmoil. It's crying out to God and saying, God, I don't know, I don't understand, but I'm trusting you. Faith is our allowing the hand and heart of God to create a miracle in our life. And I want you to know that God wants to create a miracle in your life this morning.
Amen.
In whatever it might be. You might be suffering from a physical illness. You might be suffering from an emotional illness this morning. You might be suffering from a mental illness this morning. I don't know what's going on, but I know that God wants to create a miracle in your life. And the only thing you have to do to begin to manifest that is to reach out to Him and say, yes, Lord, I want that. Chuck Swindoll, in a book that he wrote, said, every time healing happens, God has done it. It occurs daily. Occasionally, it is miraculous. More often, it is aided by proper diagnosis, expert medical care, essential medical assistance, plus common sense. No hocus pocus, no mumbo jumbo, no hot shot carnal circus. But when God heals, there is no way man can grab the glory. There is no distinction. God is healer. My friends, I want you to know that today God wants to lay his healing hand on you, on your life, and on your heart. Will you respond to him? If it is up to you, God is ready to act now. All you have to do is say, Lord, you know what? I want that. We're going to sing that song that we sang before during prayer time. We're going to sing, He Touched Me. And if you want a healing touch from God this morning, you can come and kneel at the altars and pray. You can kneel at the heart of your, right where you're sitting. Doesn't matter where you're at. But I want you to know that today you can leave this place with a touch of God. We're going to sing this song. And as we do, we're going to pray and just have God just speak to us in the next few minutes. Father, as we come to our time of response, Lord, we know that you want to touch us. You wanted to touch the man that came that was deaf and blind, or deaf and couldn't speak. And you want to touch us. So, Father, as we pray and in the next few moments of our lives, as we respond to your word, we pray, Lord, that you would just make the invitation open that we can receive a touch from God this morning. Whatever it might be, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, whatever it might be this morning, let us know that, Father, your touch is available to us. We pray that you'd help us do this. In Jesus' name, amen.